Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour with your host, Sam Leibowitz.
Good morning, my conscious co-creators. Welcome. Got choked up there. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, our first show of 2015. Happy New Year to all of my wonderful listeners. Thank you for staying with us throughout 2014. It was a fantastic year for us here at the station, and we're really looking forward to this coming year, 2015. Feels like it's going to be a great year. Have you been talking to your friends? Have they been saying it? I tell you, like, everybody I talk to has a really good feeling about this year. So for me, that's a pretty good indication that it's going to be a really good year, because, you know, you just kind of, you know, when you feel like so many people are like, yeah, they're optimistic, they're you know, enthusiastic about the new year, that gives a real energy, I feel, to like what's coming up, and that really this is going to be a fantastic year. So I know it's been a couple of weeks since we've done our show. I know you're anxiously awaiting your quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham. Ooh, we got a couple of goodies today. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have to say. So first, from the universe. For the record, you've not missed anything. You don't even know what downtime is. And every single second of your life so far, resting, playing, distracted or not, has been profoundly creative. We're on a roll, the universe. Interesting quote from the universe. Nice little trying to remind us that we actually are getting it all perfect. Let's see what Abraham has for us today. Kind of a longer one from Abraham. From your human perspective, you often believe that you must work hard to overcome obstacles and satisfy shortages and solve the problems that are before you. But often, in that attitude or approach, you work against yourself without realizing it. Attention to obstacles make them bigger and more stubborn. Attention to shortages make them bigger and prolongs them. And attention to a problem prevents any immediate resolution or solution. In the absence of longing, in the absence of doubt, in the absence of obstacles and shortages and problems, will be the solutions and abundance that you seek. And the evidence of your vibrational shift will become obvious in two ways. First, you will feel better. And next, physical evidence of improvement will begin flowing to you from a variety of different directions. Abraham. Ah, quite an interesting quote, and one of, I think, Abraham's big messages, which is, and this is what I say to people all the time, what you focus on expands. So if you're focusing on the fact that you have an obstacle, you have an issue, you have something you're working on, things aren't exactly the way you would like them to be, well, you're going to stay stuck if that's the way you if that's where you're focusing. However, if you turn it around and focus on solutions, focus on what you can do, not what you can't do, then you'll begin to sort of change the whole energy around what's going on, and all of a sudden things start to flow. It's kind of like when you're in the middle of the issue. It's like you're in the middle of the storm. Things are swirling around you. You don't know what to do. You don't know which direction to turn. The more you focus on the fact that that's the way you feel and that, you know, all this crazy stuff's happening around you, the more you sort of stay stuck in that energy. You stay stuck in that perspective. But if you can mindfully kind of stop yourself, breathe for a minute, and change your focus from the craziness that's going on around you to what you can do about it. And don't say, oh, I've thought of everything. There's nothing I can do. Okay, you've thought of what? Two or three different possibilities? There is a dozen possibilities. There is millions of possibilities that you can take to a possible approach. You may not like all the different possibilities. We're not asking you to like all the possibilities. We're just asking you to focus on what are the different possibilities that you can do. Then you'll see that there's actually things begin to shift. Your energy changes from one where you're kind of constricted or contracted or kind of stuck where you are to one where, ah, there is something I can do. I can call this person. I can reach out for help. I can shift my thinking. I can make a phone call. You know, there are always things that we can do. So I hope that this is a good way to kind of start off the new year for you. Remember that, you know, as you're going through your daily life, as you're going through the various things that you're going through, remember there's always something you can do. Perhaps you just haven't thought of it yet. And if you ever need help from me, your conscious consultant, feel free to reach out and give us a call. So now it is my great honor and privilege to introduce to you a wonderful music professional and author, Thomas Baylor. Thomas has enjoyed a long and distinguished career in the entertainment industry. He's an acclaimed singer, composer, songwriter, arranger, producer, and now author. Thomas has worked with such popular musicians as Billy Joel and Michael Jackson, Barbara Streisand. He's a close associate of Quincy Jones. And Thomas is an associate producer and arranger of that wonderful song, We Are the World, that had so many. Oh, my God. How many different stars did you have singing in We Are the World?
We had about 40.
About 40?
About 40,
wow.
Yeah.
That must have been quite a project to work on. He's also composed music for Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson, and directors Steven Spielberg and Barry Levinson. And, oh, my God, really? The magicians, Siegfried and Roy?
Yes, I did their show at the Mirage.
Oh, cool. He's done half full Supertime shows and a number of high-profile stage productions. As a songwriter, he's written many hits, including She's Out of My Life, Living in a House Divided, and Julie, Do You Love Me? Thomas also created the vocal arrangements for the motion picture version of The Wiz. Oh, I love that one. He also served as musical director for a number of events sponsored by the White House, including America's Millennial, Points of Light, and President Clinton's inaugural concert. Oh, cool. Mr. Baylor has also served as musical director and arranger for the Kennedy Center Honors. And one project that he has his attention on is a song cycle composing based on the poetry of the Sufi poet Hafiz. Oh, wow. That must be interesting. And he is the author of his first novel, Anything is Possible, and his soon-to-be-released book, What You Want Wants You. And every now and then you take a nap, right?
Yes. I sleep well.
Well, you sleep well? Good, yes. Good. Well, we're doing all that. That's something. Wow. How did you, I mean, this is just amazing. You come, though, from fairly humble beginnings, don't you?
Yes. Well, I mean, I would say fairly, very normal beginnings. You
okay.
know? I grew up in Inglewood, California.
Not Inglewood, New Jersey. A lot of people know Inglewood,
exactly.
New Jersey, right?
I think Inglewood, New Jersey starts with an E, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Our Inglewood starts with an I. So as it went west, I think it hit.
Okay. So it's Inglewood or something. Okay. Where is Inglewood, New Jersey?
Inglewood is south central Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Part of the LA. Okay.
Yes. And there, I think we were best known at that time for Hollywood Park racetrack.
Oh,
it was a pretty big horse track, and they had the season there. It was very exciting, but it was a very, you know, there I was post-war, there were 40 kids on our block.
Wow, that's it, huh?
I lived on 3rd Avenue between Arborvitae and Hardy, and I don't remember how many homes there were, but it was a normal block, you know, in the suburbs kind of a thing.
Right.
But there were 40 kids, It was a very normal upbringing, and by the time my brother and I were born, my dad owned a record store up the street. Dad was self-taught as a trumpet player when he lived in Missouri, but then later on went to Juilliard. Then played in the studios in Los Angeles. And then after the war, he decided he didn't want to play his trumpet anymore for money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was very precious to him. He loved to. He got a look in his eye when he played his trumpet that was not present at any other time, and it was so beautiful. And from the time I was 3 years old, I remember seeing this, and I wanted some of that. Now, so I became a trumpet player, and so did my brother.
Oh, wow.
But we owned a record store, and then he and my grandfather owned what they call a jukebox route. You know, jukeboxes were big, and after the war, Seaburks came out with these 100 record jukeboxes. So we were warehousing over 5,000 records at the time.
Oh my God.
So Dad thought, well, let's put on a storefront. Let's put a storefront there and serve our neighborhood.
Oh.
So we had a place called Fifth Avenue Music, which was way different than Fifth Avenue New York.
Yeah.
But it was cool. What the benefit to my brother and I was that we gave Dad a list, and he would drop it by the store and to the guy that was running it, and they would deliver us records all the time.
Wow.
And
these are the old, like, little 45s or like the big
this
vinyls?
This is back to 78s, man.
78s, wow.
And the wonderful thing was that there was no waste, because we would listen to the songs that we wanted to hear, and when we were through, he put those records in the jukeboxes. So we got whatever we wanted, you know what I mean? And and the great thing about that is we had such an incredible music education because of that.
I bet, I bet. Who was your favorite when you were a kid?
It changed weekly. You know?
Was there one song that, like, when you heard it as a kid, just totally, like, you know, changed your life? Or that really, like, you know, like, went right into your heart?
Well, it depends on what age. You know, On Top of Old Smokey was a big one. That was a country song.
Top of Old Smokey. Wow,
on Top of Old Smokey, all covered with snow, I lost my true lover by courting too slow. You know?
Yeah.
And I loved Harry James and his band. One song that actually did change my life was called Trumpet Blues and Cantabile. And that was the first song that I arranged, because I wanted to arrange. I said, Dad, how do they know what to play? And he said, well, somebody wrote down the notes. Right. And I said, how do they do that? And he said, well, why don't you have your brother drop the needle and listen to what the first trumpet plays? Because being a trumpet player, he figured that would be, listen to what the first trumpet player is playing and write it down. And then listen to what the second trumpet player is. And it was ear training. This is what they teach you in college. But I learned it at 7.
Wow. That's quite a start to your musical career.
It was an amazing childhood. My father was, I mean, I talk about my dad all the time.
Wow.
And there's a reason. And that's why my new book is called What You Want, Want You, because it's really based on, the book is about, and I didn't know that I was going to write this. It's kind of like being married for a long time and having a family, and then your youngest is 13 and you find out your wife's pregnant. I didn't know I was going to write this book, but it happened, because when I speak about my novel, which is really a reimagining, anything is possible. My novel is a reimagining of the life of Aesop.
Right.
And that came about through our record store.
Oh, cool. All right. I want you to hold that thought.
Sure.
And we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, let's fill in a little bit of the gaps of what happened kind of in between that little kid playing, the 7-year-old kid playing the trumpet in Inglewood, California, to getting up to writing your novel, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And my guest this hour is Thomas Baylor, and we will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Bonjour, this is Dominique de Kock.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Asania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French, New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is a common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds, or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French, New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and I'm very pleased to have Thomas Baylor with me today. So, Thomas, when we left off, you were a 7-year-old kid playing trumpet in Inglewood, California. How did you get from being a 7-year-old kid to working with such, you know, musical stars as Billy Joel and Michael Jackson? I mean, that is not a short trip, I'm sure.
You know, it's I wish I could tell you how. I was raised with a very singular premise.
Mm-hmm.
We're all here to serve others.
Oh, interesting.
And I was given permission at a very young age that the only limitations I had were whatever my beliefs were.
Really?
Yeah.
I imagine growing up that not a lot of your friends had the same kind of upbringing.
No, but you know, there were 40 kids on our block, and I think they all came to my dad.
Oh.
And the interesting thing, my dad was such an amazing guy, but he grew up without a father. His father died of typhoid when he was 6 years old.
Ooh.
And his mother was I called her a Pollyanna of possibility.
Mm.
So many people I knew that were Pollyannas or have that I see that are Pollyannas, I sort of recognize blind spots because they just don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Grandmother was saw all and loved all. And she instilled in my father that anything is possible. And that's the way my novel got named. So I tend to talk about these things in my family because they were so instrumental in my upbringing. And it was very simple. I mean, my dad gave me Think and Grow Rich when I was 10 years old. He said, I think
really?
You'll like this book.
Wow.
Yeah. And the other thing about my upbringing, which is going to guide us into what I'm going to talk about in terms of working with these wonderful stars and leaders of industry that I've felt, I don't really know how except energetically, you know, that I had something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And the premises of anything is possible and that we are here to serve others and reading. Well, first I read Think and Grow Rich at 10, which is the very first sort of self-awareness book.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then my dad actually studied when he was back here in New York. He actually studied with Dale Carnegie. So the next book I read was
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Stop worrying, start living.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, and I was also given permission to that whatever I was occurring to me was good. And when I was dissatisfied, Dad would say, is this a bad thing? And I said, well, yeah, I don't like being dissatisfied. And he said, well, you know, sometimes when we change perspectives, it gets better. Because he said, the way I look at it, and he always gave me an I message. He told me, Father, my dad never told me what to do, ever.
Really?
I was raised with questions and suggestions.
Oh, wow.
And Dad never said, now, we need to sit down and talk, and, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. I never heard those words out of his mouth.
Wow.
In fact, in high school, I was kind of going off track. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it wasn't anything terrible, but I was not doing what, you know.
Right. Okay.
And that's usually when Dad sit down and say, hey, look, you know, dude, you need to yada, yada.
Yeah.
Dad walked into my room one day, and he said, son, I believe I know what your goals are, and I'm not sure you're going to reach them on the path you're on. And he turned around and walked out.
Wow.
That was my father and son talk.
Wow.
That threw me into a self-evaluation, and I figured out what I was doing wrong. He was very observant, and when I turned it around, he just put his arm around me one day, and he said, well done.
Wow.
So
he really
I thought everybody
be,
was raised that way.
And so he really taught you to be self-reliant, but to really question things and not just take things for granted.
Absolutely. And wouldn't answer a question.
Really?
Here's an example. When I was 4 years old, I learned how to ride a bike at four because I had a big brother, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Normally we're around six or something. But anyway, I came out one day and my bike had a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my dad and I said, Dad, I have a flat.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what do you want? And I thought I annoyed him. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And he got down on his haunches and looked me straight in the eye. And he said, son, listen to my words. What do you want? I said, I want my tire not to be flat.
Mm.
He said, great. What are you going to do about it? I said, I don't know. And he said, but if you did know. Which was Dad's code for use your powers of observation. So I look at a tire on a rim that's flopping over, and I said, I guess that tire needs to come off the rim. He said, great, how are you going to do that? So now I look and I say, well, I guess the nuts need to come off the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
He said, great, I'll get you a wrench. And he comes back and he said, I know you're four, so I'm going to loosen him. As soon as he loosened him, I was on my own, except he was right there. He was present. He didn't leave me.
Right.
But he never told me how or what to do. It was my experience.
He let you figure it out for yourself.
Yes. And you know what? One of the things he said that has stuck with me, and I think your listeners are going to love. Dad said, I have yet to forget anything that I have discovered. I have forgotten tons of things that I've learned.
Interesting.
And that's how I got locked into Aesop, because we had this record store and Dad sent home this, he would send us presents all the time from the store with the Warner Brothers came out with a thing called Reader Records after the war.
Oh.
And it was starring the Looney Tunes cast, you know, Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd, Daffy Duck. And they were classic stories told by that in through them, you know. And the first book he sent home, it was a it was a picture book, but it also had the words in there. So as you kind of caught on, you're listening to the words, you kind of, it almost taught you how to read. It was brilliant.
Oh.
And the first book he sent home was Bugs Bunny and the Tortoise, which is the hare and the tortoise, right?
Sure.
Which is Aesop.
Right, right.
And I fell in love with this story. And when Dad got home, I said, Dad, thank you so much. I love this story. It's wonderful. And he said, well, son, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You know, that's not a new story. And I said, it's not? And he said, no, it's over 2,500 years old. And I said, Bugs Bunny isn't 2,500 years old. He said, you're right, he's not. But the story is.
Yeah.
And he said, as a matter of fact, because Bugs was the star, he won, even though he went to sleep. He won by an ear. And he said, you know, son, in the original story, the tortoise wins. So I was hooked. So Dad brought home Aesop's Fables, and what he pointed out to me about discovery, he said, you know, the reason that this man is the most quoted author in history is because in every one of his stories, we discover the meaning. And he said, if I'm going to say to you, son, tell the truth, because if you don't tell the truth, when you do tell the truth, people won't believe you. You're going to go into a whole bevy of thoughts, I'll bet, that thinks like, why does my dad think I'm not telling the truth? Why does this? And you get all defensive. But if I tell you the story about the boy who cried wolf, he was lonely and he was out there with the sheep. So he cries wolf and the whole town comes out to help him. And when they get there, they say, where's the wolf? And he said, well, he ran off. But all he wanted was warmth and love. And he did it two or three times till finally, when there was a wolf and he cried wolf, they're going, oh, that's him again. Well, what happens when you hear that story is you discover the quality of truth.
Interesting.
And all of Aesop's stories are like that. So so this is what I was raised with. So and Serve Others, I was a good trumpet player, and when I got into high school, we had, you know, dances. And somebody said, you know, the band, this band can't make it. They just canceled on us. We don't know what to do. And I said, well, I'll put some guys together. So we, you know, I put some buddies together. And pretty soon we were playing dances all the time. And then there were more gigs than there were people. So and again, I was serving others. I didn't want to be a band maven. You know, I didn't set out to go, I'm going to do this. But it worked. I was using my talent, to my gifts, to serve others. So that's the way I got into the music industry. And when then I went to USC as a trumpet player, and was a very serious trumpet player, a trumpet major. And then suddenly I discovered through kind of a catastrophe that I had a bleeding ulcer and it was perforated, and they had to do emergency surgery to save my life at 22 years old. How crazy is that? But I couldn't play the trumpet after that for a year or two. And I was devastated.
I bet, because you'd been playing since you were seven, so it was like
actually
part of your life.
Five. You know, but I mean, that's when, so it was so much of my life. And when you're majoring in trumpet, I was playing 3, 4, 5 hours a day. And suddenly it was nothing, and my family was around me, you know, and supported me, and I was like, I don't deserve this. I was doing everything right. Why did this happen to me? And all, you know, my life was ruined. And my dad said, you know, son, maybe you should ask some questions that empower you. And I said, what? I can't think of anything that'll empower me right now.
Right in the middle.
And he said, how about this one? Is being a trumpet player all you are? And immediately I went, no.
No.
And he said, well, maybe you should ask yourself what else you enjoy doing. Well, I enjoyed singing. I never thought that I would be a singer. But the point was that I read the spots off the paper because I learned how to read music when I was five. Not because anybody told me to, but because of a natural curiosity. Then, so I couldn't play my trumpet, but I could sing. I went to the doctor. Doctor felt my abdomen when I sang, and he said, Nora, you're okay singing.
Okay.
So my brother comes home one day and he said, hey, you know, I just saw in the Hollywood Reporter they're looking for a singer on the Smothers Brothers show.
The Smothers Brothers show?
Yeah, it was the number one show on CBS, number one show on television. And they were driving the censors crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm 22 years old, and that's cool.
Right.
So I thought, what the heck? So I find out who the vocal director is. I audition for him. I get the job.
Wow.
So my dad's saying, maybe you should ask a question that empowers you.
Yeah.
Change my life.
Let's see where it leads you. Wow. Cool. Okay. Let's leave it there on that note. And we'll after the break, we'll swing back around about what got you in only recently, after all these years with a distinguished music career, to become an author. So everybody, please stay tuned. And of course, if anyone would like to call in and ask your own question of Thomas, please feel free to call in. Our call-in number is still 877-480-4120. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
I don't know what it is, but you gotta do it. I don't know where to go, but you gotta be there. I don't know where to fall, but I know that it's comfortable where I don't know where it is, putting all of my time.
And welcome back. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and my guest this hour is Thomas Baylor. So, Tom, wow. So you got on the Smothers Brothers show as a singer, and I guess kind of from there you made all kinds of connections in the music industry. And
I met Cher on that show. I met Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. And the thing was that when I got on the show, I noticed that we were called Singers Who Moved because they had dancers, eight singers, eight dancers. And when they did big production numbers, they'd put us in back of the dancers, and we moved well enough that it looked like we were in sync, but they just never shot our feet. And luckily. But you know what? This is something I want to share with your listeners, is that when I got on the show, I noticed that we were only actually working about 30% of the time. We were sitting around the other 30% or other 70%. So I'm watching the other singers, because this is my first gig like this. And I'm watching them. Some people knitted, some people played cards, some people read. And I thought, this is all wonderful, but I'm at freaking CBS, the number one network in the world. I want to know more. And this is what I was taught by my grandmother and my father. When you're in a situation and you don't know what to do, you ask yourself, what do I want? So I said, I want to know more. I made a declaration. I want to know more. And immediately, as soon as I said that, a question comes to me from me. What are you going to do about it? And I thought, well, I'm going to start at the top. So I knocked on the door of the director, and he said, come on in. And I said, I don't know if you know me, because I came in mid-season. I said, I don't know if you know me. I'm one of your singers. And he said, I know who you are. What do you want? I said, well, I have a lot of time on my hands, and if I'm quiet and unobtrusive, may I follow you around, Stan, while you direct the show? And he said, and it was like he recognized a long-lost relative. He said, of course. What are you doing right now? And I said, I'm following you, sir. Now, the amazing thing is nobody knew me on the show, so all of a sudden they see this kid hanging out with the director, and they think I'm important. So pretty soon the set director comes up and he says, hey, I want to show you something, Tommy. Oh, and by this time, even though they know I'm a singer on the show, I'm connected to the director. So, and the makeup department says, hey, we're doing this pirate number. Look at what we're going to do. And so I learned to direct and produce a show just by asking myself, what do I want? I want to know more.
And you didn't. And it's not like you were expecting to be paid for it or anything. You just offered to follow him around and help out and stuff. And the opportunity was there for you. You didn't do it from a mercenary point of view.
You know, I've never done anything for money, ever.
That's great.
But money comes.
Yeah.
Because when we serve others, it just happens. Because to me, money is an energy. It has come to me in relation to what I'm doing for others. So if I'm serving others, if I write a song and it's a hit all over the world, my first song, Julie, Do You Love Me, I wrote for Bobby Sherman. I wrote it with no expectations. I just wrote it. I was singing on his records, and his producer said, you know, there's a real dearth of songs for Bobby. And I thought, well, I'll write him something. So I wrote six songs, and I was getting ready to go to Europe to ski with my best buddy. And my brother drives me to the airport, and I gave him this tape, and I said, here, these are for Bobby, and if Jackie, his producer, doesn't like him, you wrote him. And I called in from Austria to check in to make sure that that I wasn't missing a because I was a studio singer by that time. I called in to make sure I wasn't missing a Wrigley's commercial. And my brother said, you have Bobby's next single. And I said, really?
Wow.
What song? And he said, Julie, Do You Love Me? Well, when this song came out, it was a hit in seven different countries by different artists, because Bobby was only known in the United States.
Right.
So it thrilled me to think that something I wrote in my living room was on the charts in Japan, was on the charts in Norway, and it was on the charts in Germany.
Wow.
And I thought, oh my gosh, what power there is in that. And where does and it wasn't about me, it was just that I have an expression in it, and we all have an expression. And what I love about where we are right now, Sam, and you and I have talked about this, is that we are in the information age, and we're speaking to how many countries right now?
Right, you know, half a dozen.
You know?
Right.
And how wonderful. And I'm sitting in your office in New York City.
Right.
And we're doing this, and we're sharing with people all over the world.
Right.
this is what I love. And to me, we all have opinions. We all have thoughts. We all have something to share with others.
Right. Absolutely. So let's fast forward a little bit. All right.
Yeah.
So you've started working with stars. You have a very distinguished music career. What inspired you to finally say, you know what, I should write a book about my experiences. I should write a book that will really inspire people.
I wish I was that smart, and I'm not. But you know what, I follow my instincts. This is another thing. I was given permission. My father said, your feelings, mm-hmm. and he didn't say it ever. I'm quoting him incorrectly. I want to credit, because he gave me iMessage. He said, son, my feelings are my best barometer.
Okay.
So I came back to Radio City Music Hall as a creative director.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know what a creative director was, but one of my mentors mm-hmm. became president, and he said, you are a creative director, you just don't know it. I said, okay, fine. So it felt good.
Right.
And I wasn't afraid.
Right.
I figured I admire this man. If he believes I can do it, I guess I can.
Right.
So I came back and became creative director, and I had read something about Aesop,
mm-hmm.
and it said he was born in 620 BC, a slave with no access to wealth or influence. Mm-hmm. Yet mm-hmm. later in his life, he served as ambassador to the most powerful man in the world. Mm-hmm. And my question was, how did he do that?
Right.
And the instant I asked that question, I felt a surge of energy go through me. Mm-hmm. It was like a chill, but it wasn't cold, and my mm-hmm. life changed after that.
Yeah.
Within 3 weeks, Bob Yanni called and he said, I want you to become my creative director. I said, okay. So I came back here, and then we opened the show, and I get a call from Tommy Volando, and I'd written 5 songs for the show
mm-hmm.
with one of my favorite collaborators. I get a call from Tommy Volando, who is the top independent publisher on Broadway. Mm-hmm. He had people like Harnick and Bach, Kander and Ebb, and some guy named Stephen Sondheim.
Some guy.
Yeah. And he calls, and when he called my office, I thought, oh, I must not have cleared something. You know, I figured mm-hmm. we were in trouble. Publishers don't normally call.
Right.
But I was, Bob was sending me around town doing local radio and television shows
uh-huh.
to, you know, and I would interview, and then I'd play one of the songs from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my wife has never talked to me about my business until she saw you on this show. And she said, really? You need to talk to this guy.
Huh.
So I talked to Tommy. I had read this thing about Aesop, and when I did, it changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, play me some of your songs. And I played him. He said, you know, you have a gift for the theater. And I said, thank you. This is one of my passions.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, do you have any ideas for a show? And I said, well, you know, this guy Aesop has moved in with me. And he said, if you'll give me a year, he said, if you give me a year, I will walk you through the process of creating a Broadway show.
Oh, wow.
I went back to Bob Yanni, and I've only been at Radio City for 4 months. I had a hit show on our hands, and he said, how was your meeting with Tommy? And I said, well, he said that if I do this, and I told Tommy, I said, well, I just got here. I'm a creative director. And he said, well, it's up to you. When I told Bob this, Bob says, go do this.
Hmm.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
So
I was also learned to listen and to seize opportunity when it came up.
Right.
So I started to write it as a musical.
Mm-hmm.
And as the story came to me, because like the music I write, like the words I write, whether it's poetry, prose, everything comes to me. I hear it,
mm-hmm.
and I write it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
My dad used to say he was the temporary middleman for beer, and I am the middleman for thought. So what I found was that I had too much story for a musical. So then I was talking to a writer, a Broadway writer, and I said, I need some help. Every time I hired a writer, my story went away. It became somebody else's.
Oh,
and this
really?
Story was so prevalent in my thoughts and my dreams. So I said, would you help me with this? And he said, no.
Huh.
because you need to write this as a novel. And I said, but I've never written a novel. He said, Tom, there was a time when you had never written a song. And that was my impetus to write the book.
And how long ago was that?
I started writing the book in 2008. And after we come back from the break, I'll give you the little story about that. Because when I find that I make decisions, stuff happens.
Right.
I decided to write a book not knowing how to write a book, not knowing the first thing about writing a book.
Right.
And 3 weeks later, the coach entered my life.
Okay. All right, let's hold on to that thought, and when we come back, you guys will find out all about how Thomas wrote his first book, and then we'll get right into his second book. So please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
Bonjour, this is Dominique de Kock.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Asania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French, New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is their common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French, New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
I used to go against the wind, but that's no way to fly. Flapping my wings, I get no place, no matter how hard I try. But when I just give in and go to where the blowing breeze has planned, you know I find a better place wherever I might land.
That guitar man from Central Park. You know David Ippolito?
I do not.
You do not.
But after listening to that, I want to.
Yeah, he's a great singer, songwriter, actor, philosopher who on just about any Saturday afternoon in the spring or summertime, you can find him on in Central Park on the side of the lake, on the west side of the lake or around 76th Street. So you just got to go out to the hill, as he calls it. And he always has a huge crowd around listening to him. He's wonderful. Very, very entertaining.
I'll be there.
All right, great. So before we went to break, you were talking about how you had suddenly decided you needed to write your first book, a novel about Aesop.
Yes, I had this story in me, and it needed to get out.
Right.
So I decided to write a novel without any understanding. You know, this is when our mind plays games. My mind is like, don't be a fool. You're very good at what you do in music. You're going to make a fool of yourself. You're going to do that.
Right.
And this is when I learned to say to my left brain, thank you for your input. Instead of fighting it, I made it a friend.
Okay.
I said, thank you for your input. Keep it coming. I'm going to make another choice right now. But I appreciate you. And everything, I believe everything that lives wants to be loved. And soon as I made friends with my left brain instead of fighting it, my life changed. And I was hired as a creative director to do a project. And the woman who was doing the project asked us, none of us, the creative team, didn't know each other. She said, you have a minute and a half to talk about yourself. Let us know who you are. And I mentioned Aesop. Her eyes got big. She came up to me and said, this is a wonderful idea. You should write this into a novel. And I said, well, I'm going to. I just don't know how. And she said, well, I'm your girl. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, Tony Robbins came to me with an idea, and I helped him.
Oh, really?
And she said, I believe in what I can feel how much this means to you. And so she was my coach. She didn't get into my content at all, but she helped me learn the framework. So I wrote the novel. The novel comes out, and immediately we were hooked up worldwide. And kind of like my first song being a hit, I was amazed. And all of a sudden, I'm talking to people in Syria who can't buy the book.
Wow.
But this one young woman drove to Beirut, Lebanon.
Wow.
And got the book there.
Oh, my God.
And so the connection of this was so amazing, and pretty soon I started speaking because Aesop was such an amazing man, but he was just one of us, you know. He was a guy who followed his instincts, and his mother gave him permission, like my mother, my grandmother gave my father permission, like my, you know. And so, but when I would speak, I wouldn't speak about the book so much. I would speak about what you and I are talking about.
Gotcha.
And at first, people were saying, well, talk more about the book. And I said, well, I sort of am. But
giving you the message, just not the story.
And then people said, and then some people said, you know what? What you're talking about, I think, is helpful to people. You should write a book about this. So all of a sudden, I thought, yeah, why not? So all of a sudden, What You Want, Wants You began. And it was really just like taking dictation from my life. Because my father taught me that when I'm dissatisfied, that's not a bad thing. He said, son, when you're dissatisfied, you just entered a chapter and you're into a new chapter. And maybe the reason that you're uncomfortable is you don't know what this chapter holds for you. But he said, how was the last one? I said, it was great. And he said, well, why wouldn't this one be great?
Right.
And I said, okay, cool. And so I learned this formula, but it wasn't presented to me in a formula, but it crystallized in me as a formula.
Gotcha.
And that's how this book, What You Want, Wants You, came into being.
Okay.
And we are launching it shortly. It's already available at Amazon.com.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I also have a course with it because what I've discovered is that, you know, when we read something that's illuminating, then we go back to our old lives. You know, I'd spend a weekend with Tony Robbins and be totally pumped.
Yeah,
and then would fall back into my old life.
Absolutely.
But when I took his mastery university and went into 6-day immersions, I found that I retained these things. And I thought, you know what? And another friend said, build a course around this. So I have an 8-week course.
Oh, wonderful.
That's in two levels. One is a pre-recorded level, and the other one is a where we do a live Zoom meeting, you know.
Oh, okay.
And we've run two again, you know. Seth Godin, who was one of my heroes.
I love Seth.
Wrote something about being unprepared.
Yes.
I have lived my life unprepared. I was unprepared to do this class.
Right.
So I just wrote to, I've got a blog and I've got a lot of followers. So I just said, hey, you know, I'm going to do this. I have no idea if it's going to be any good. Mm-hmm. But if you want to sign up, I just want you to spend $20 so you're somewhat committed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this class and we just got into it and it flowed like butter. And the class got so much out of it. And there were some lives that were changed, not for me. In fact, the first line of my book is, why do they call it self-help when everybody's telling you what to do?
To do, right.
Because my father never told me what to do. I was raised with questions and suggestions. That's what this book is about. So I'm sharing stories because, like Aesop, when we hear a story, we take out of it what works for us. And we discover it and we own it.
Right.
So that is what my whole course and What You Want Wants You is about. Okay. Because I asked my dad when I was six, Dad, how do you be creative? And he said, I'll tell you how I do it. I declare what I want and let it go. And I'm like, what? And he said, well, son, when we declare what we want, we are made of energy. And I'm six, and I'm like, energy, what, like a light bulb? And he said, well, the light bulb is the result of energy. And he said, if what you want serves others, I believe you'll get it. And I said, really? He said, that's been my experience.
Wow.
So I learned this formula at 6 years old.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. So would you say now, I mean, kind of the title of your first book, Anything is Possible.
Yes.
I mean, I take it that's a message for people that really, even if it seems impossible, it actually is possible. And what you want wants you. Not only is it possible, but you will be drawn towards it.
Here's a pathway that has worked for me.
Wow.
I'm not saying, but you know what? It's amazing what it's doing for people. And it Great. Thrills me because, in a way, What You Want Wants You is a companion book to Anything is Possible, because Anything is Possible has got the formula in it in story form.
Gotcha. And so where can people find the books? I mean, I know you mentioned they were on Amazon.
Anything is Possible and What You Want Wants You are available both in ebooks and paperback on Amazon and also on my website. My website is my name, Thomas Baylor, B-A-H-L-E-R, thomasbaylor.com.
Okay.
And if you're interested in the course, we call it WeWe. Because it's What You Want Wants You. So it's W-Y-W-W-Y dot thomasbaylor.com. If you go to that site, or if you go to my site, you can click on it, too.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And it's
like a self-paced. People can go and get in any time, or is it?
Yes, you can. If you do the recorded course, I've got 211 minutes of video, and none of it is PowerPoint. It's all me, and I went around the city and talked about what happened here and what happened there.
Cool.
And it seems to be just really. You know, we're all here to serve, and my thrill in life is to serve others with what I've been given. So that's what I'm doing. It started out in music. It started out making bands. I've just always served people, and I'm serving people in a different way now, but I'm still creating music. I'm writing the song Cycle About Hafez, you know? His poetry, just when I read his poetry.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
I heard melodies. Well, when I hear something, my job is to write it down. I'm the middleman.
Beautiful. So, once again, if anybody wants to learn more about Thomas or his work or his books, his website is Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, Baylor, B-A-H-L-E-R.com. No, with an umlaut over the A, but except you can't type that in on a URL.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that on the internet.
Well, thank you so much, Tom, for coming into the studio today. Really appreciate it. It's been a wonderful show.
Sam, it's my pleasure. It's great to be here with you, and I'm so glad that we met.
Me too. And I look forward to whatever comes next for you. Keep
me
my
too.
Eyes and ears open.
And at this point, I have no idea what that'll be, but it'll be fun.
Wonderful. Then it'll be exciting. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Please stay tuned. Coming up next, our 21st century entrepreneur, J.C. Maldonado, with his show, and followed by Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Liebowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.